Hey guys, before we jump in, I want to invite you to follow me on socials. You can follow me on Twitter at WhatIWillSayPod, on Instagram at WhatIWillSay, also on TikTok at WhatIWillSay, and of course, WhatIWillSay.tumblr.com will take you to my blog where you can keep up with my day-to-day pop culture takes. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. Just search WhatIWillSay to access hours upon hours of bonus content, our secret community Discord, and so much more. Or if the Patreon's not for you, you can give us a 5-star rating and a good review, or even just tell a friend about the show. All of those things help us out a lot. Thanks guys, enjoy the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to What I Will Say. This is Cam, and I'm here with Jeffy, and we are in a post The Torture Poets Department album drop world. Jeffy,
woo!
How you doing?
I've been rocked. I've been shaken. I've gone through the whole album. A jaw was on the floor basically through the entire album. Like, I will not deny the lyrics had me gagged entirely. It's still processing for sure. 100% still processing it all.
Yeah, I think let's get it out of the way. None of us expected this much Matty Healy.
Oh my God, no. None at all. I did not expect I cannot believe how I guess bold she was to talk about so much about it, give so many songs to him, give us so much like tea and information that has us, you know, even diving back into old songs and reanalyzing those and seeing maybe is there a Matty Healy lens on this now. And it's, yeah, I'm shocked.
Yeah. I was pretty surprised too. Now I will say here, What I Will Say Industries, we expected some Matty. I think we talked pretty openly about, we thought, oh yeah, we're definitely going to get Matty. I shared tea that was unvetted, but unverified. If you're on Project Dive Bar, you know, but we talked about, we expected even maybe half the album would be about Matty, but I did not expect almost every song, at least on the main album, to be about Matty. Now it's early days, right? You guys, if you're on the Patreon, you may have watched my 2-hour reaction video that Gabby and I did together of the main album. My thoughts, they're already miles away from my initial reactions, right? I was saying, oh, this is about that, this is about that. Now I'm like opposite. Even me and Imps jumped on the bonus pod. If you're missing Imps, she's over on the Patreon giving her takes on the album right now. We jumped on and talked about it. And even then I was like trying to convince her that the alchemy was about Matty. Hell no, that song's obviously about Travis. What's wrong with me? I'm such an idiot, right? I'm such an idiot. I barely, you know, it made no sense, the takes I had, but you know, it's early days. So
to be fair, it rattled us fully. Like, yeah, I definitely had my thoughts about one song thinking, oh, it's definitely about this. And then someone in the Discord would throw in this entirely different take that I was like, oh my God, yeah, you're so right. That's a whole angle I didn't even consider. Like there is definitely like, I mean, as people have been dissecting it and calling like it's poetry. There's stuff to it. There's her lyricism, I think I don't know if I want to say complicated as it's been before, but it feels like there's so many different like strings tying all together in it, I guess invisible strings if you want to be corny, all throughout the album that weaves it together in this very you know, like the board with all the lines and everything. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think listen, everything is, we're evolving here. We're moving fast. That's why I'm going to be doing episodes on the Patreon, like at least every other day for probably a while. You know, we're going to be doing a lot of analysis, a lot of thinking, a lot of group discussions. Special shout out, like Jeffy just mentioned, to everybody in the Discord. We've been having so much fun. I'm so grateful for the community.
Oh my gosh,
thank you,
yes.
Of course, to the mods of the Discord. Everybody stepped up. Jeffy, of course, you know, I just, as always, the community is shining right now. I was like saying to Gabby, this is so over the top, but I was like, you know what? I feel like a lot of times when we're good times in life, we don't realize it till it's down the road. And I was like, not me. I know it now. I told Gabby, I was like, this is a golden age. I said that shit because it's just a beautiful time to be a part of this community. And just, I'm really enjoying life. And of course the podcast, my work is a huge part of that. So right.
Yeah, shout out to everyone out there who, you know, listeners, Discord members. Thank you guys so much for giving your takes, not being afraid to throw them out there, even if they are reaches but they do give us such a good lens on just a whole different angle for everything. And it gets us thinking. It's fun. I really have been enjoying the last few days. It's been miserable to be at work.
Well, I can't imagine.
Living a real, doing a real job. I have to put my phone so far away from me because just, yeah, everything going on has made me want to just dive right in and be on it the 24/7. But yeah, shout out to everyone out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you to everybody who's participating in Discord, on the blog, sending in takes. Everybody's trying to figure it out. And I will say, even if I've come through and like disagreed with a take, I'm still grateful for your input. You know what I mean? Just
Seriously.
because, and also just because I'm disagreeing with something doesn't make it, I don't fucking know what I'm talking about, So, as we try and pick apart these albums, we're all gonna have our thoughts and ideas, and I'm just excited to hear all of them. But yeah, so today we are not going to be covering the Toe timeline. We'll come back to it. It's still important. It's still part of Taylor. In fact, I think in some ways this album has almost reaffirmed for me what a force in her life Joe Alwyn was, because only something severe, something massive, something of magnitude going wrong could make you act like this about Matty Healy, right? Are we all in agreement about that?
With needing a rebound like that, for sure. Yeah, I definitely agree and can see that.
Yeah, here's the thing. Taylor is painting her and Maddie as he was the one that got away a decade long. And I'm not saying there weren't feelings there, but I do think if things work out with Joe, and Joe had been able to sort of be the guy she needed him to be, in a supportive way, and in even sort of a collaborative way, in a just Taylor probably has a lot of needs, and like if Joe could have stepped up and been the person to meet those, I don't think she'd be thinking about Maddie Healy. Like, I think Maddie Joe was, it's like she had this huge wound from Snake Gate, and Joe came along and was the scab on that wound. Sorry if that gross. Like, Joe was a bandage. Joe came on and formed over that wound. And to lose Joe isn't just to lose Joe, it's to reopen that wound. And
Definitely, yeah.
so it's not just losing a relationship, right? It's losing the security blanket that got you through the thing that was going to kill you. And I'm not saying that's a healthy attachment style, but I don't think anyone here is going to argue like Taylor's healthily attached. So I think Maddie happens in only in a vacuum that could be created by someone like Joe. Does
Yeah,
that make
definitely.
sense?
Oh yeah, I think you've even said it before. Like, I think one of the big things Taylor took away from Snake Gate was that she was in a happy, committed relationship. She had found this golden love that was able to get her through such a public, like, terrible time for her. And now to, like, it was almost like 6 years of parading around being like, this is Endgame, this is them together. And then when it finally didn't work out for them, yeah, I totally agree. It is like opening up a new scab or an old scab, an old wound, and feeling all those old pains. And I feel like in this song, in this album, we definitely get some old wounds. I mean, we got Thank You, Amy, which I know is kind of like a very obvious direct potentially at Kim, but also could just be at other people in her life who were a part of Snake Gate or Reputation-esque era. So yeah, definitely old wounds opening up for sure.
Yeah, old wounds, and just trying to make sense of things. And I think there's something on this album about like her realizing that maybe some of her wisdom wasn't so wise. I think she maybe thought she sounded, and maybe she did. Maybe, I'm not here to litigate is Taylor right or wrong. I'm here to discuss what she's talking about. So, like, for
Literally, yeah.
example, we got "Who You Are Is Not What You've Done, You're Still an Innocent." Back on innocent. And now we've moved to "You Are What You Did," right? So,
Yeah.
like, I think Taylor has realized, I don't know, I think she's questioning herself, and I think she's gone through something, monumental in losing Joe, or perhaps not. I don't, well, you're losing me. I mean, yeah, they lost their
You're
relationship.
Losing Me was some of her, like, you can tell, like, heartbreaking singing, like in the way her voice quivers. It's very reminiscent of like a last kiss. I do agree, like, I think a couple of the songs on the album do like address the public and the public perception of her once again, like a couple other songs in her discography. And I do think she's like, I mean, in songs like Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, it seems like she's very reflective on like oh, the things I did weren't wrong, weren't right, but also it's a product of my, journey through stardom and everything, and how the public has treated me.
Yeah. So listen, let me just say, I don't think this is a perfect album. Personally, I think she probably has four or five better albums than this, maybe six. But I think it's a pretty damn good album. And I am a bit dismayed at some of the critique. A lot of the critique I'm seeing, I'm just seeing people listen. I could do with a new direction than Jack Antonoff. Okay. I think I can tell that maybe lyrically, Taylor is not being edited and pushed by her collaborators. Maybe. Would I love to see what it would look like if she got back in the studio with like Liz Rose and wrote with her again? Someone to pare her down and push her. I'm not saying this is a perfect album. I don't think it's above criticism. I have some criticism for it. But like I keep seeing people like hot takes on Reddit, but also even some reviewers complaining about the subject matter, complaining that she's writing about love again. And I just want to know what else is she supposed to write about? You know?
Yeah, no, I definitely I've seen some critiques, and I've seen definitely the takes of like some people being like, how is she still writing about like high school and stuff as well? And even though like it may seem immature for like someone in their mid-30s to be writing about that sort of stuff, we have to remember that like Taylor is a songwriter and almost like as a story, I almost like to think a storybook teller slash writer almost in her own sense. Like she doesn't have a age range. She can write your maybe like spicy adult novel, but then also write a children's novel. Like it can be a children's book with maybe more simple but like child-friendly lyrics and everything in it, or something that can relate, someone in high school can relate to versus someone who's in their mid-50s can relate to. And that's what her skill and talent is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, first of all, I like this album a lot better than Midnight's. I think you can tell that it's mostly about the same thing, about the same person, about the same event, about the tumultuous affair of being stuck in the long situation with Joe, sort of hoping for this golden ending, but it not coming, and falling for Maddie and having this emotional affair with him, perhaps a proper affair with him, and the fallout of, you know, of what a get a get live qu a con man selling get love quick schemes. And I think it's an incredible story. And I don't understand this idea that because it's a love story, it's not worth telling. Like, to me, love is one of the most universal languages. Like, I don't, you know, like I don't understand. I'm not sure what else people want her to write about. Do they want her to write about, well, I'm a billionaire, so I just go around doing billionaire things. I don't think anybody wants to hear about that. Like, I don't know, you know, and the whole album's not about that, you
No, definitely
know.
not. It's definitely got some very insightful and interesting, pardon me, aspects to it. I guess my criticisms I've seen more about it is with obviously like the production. Like we've said, we've Jack and her are both incredible at their crafts, but I feel like they're getting comfortable with each other. And even though it seems like a flex to some people to see like one name under writer and producer constantly, I see that almost like as a bit of a downside. Like I'd like to get a few more creative people in there to get some more stuff into it. I guess like, yeah, in terms of the lyrics, I agree. I don't know what else people would want her to write about. And I mean, I guess in this album, I wanted more Jyoti, but like I got enough. But even then, it's like the thing I would want her to write about is her personal life stuff. And that's just because I'm a nosy parasocial fan. Like, there's no, I can't imagine someone who's like a hater or like wanting, what more do they want? I'm with you on that. I don't understand that part.
I just think there are also songs in this album about the life, the inner world of a little boy named Robin. There is a song about a woman who's had an injustice done to her and people don't believe her. Gosh, I think that's an important, that's a fine topic to have a conversation about. There are, you know, there's songs about fame and what it's like to be famous and the cycle
Yep, the
of
cycle of the it
the it
girl.
girl. Yes.
Yep, a hundred
So
percent.
I don't know. Are the lyrics perfect? Are some of them, no. I mean, I think some are a little clunky. I saw someone, they're purplish. Sure, like
Yeah.
there's some,
It's
but
a
I
bit
still.
wordy for sure. It's a bit of a mouthful, but like, when has Taylor Swift ever been, I guess, like concise?
Well, and
Like,
I think she used to get edited down. I think in her country days, I think she was working with,
probably, yeah.
country songwriter. I think she has been edited down, and I don't think Jack or Aaron necessarily are doing much of that because she, words are her thing, to quote something she said to Carly Kloss a long time ago, in the Best Friends interview. But so, yeah, I think, listen, I think it would serve all of us. I think it serves all of us to push ourselves,
For
put ourselves
sure.
out of our comfort zones. I mean, I think that's what she did on Folklore and Evermore and to smashing success. So when people just are talking all this shit about her, I'm like, she just did what you're whining that she doesn't do. She did just, sure, Midnights and the Torture Poets Department. Listen, Midnights was almost too all over the place. I think I could tell that it was just
Well,
about so many different things that it
I
didn't
will
stick
def
with me.
yeah, I was gonna say, I will defend, because the point of, which is weird because I'm not normally a Midnight's defender, but the prologue, the point of it is like 13 random nights to her life, right? So I guess I do see it's scattered as a concept album. It's, and it's almost like I've seen the same argument for like SOS with SZA. They're like some of the more scattered things that maybe you could, someone might criticize as like messy. Someone could chalk it up to, well, that's the point of the album. And so there's those two sides of that same criticism that I can see.
So it's scattered. I think that's a good word
Yeah.
for Midnights. And it's just like, I also don't know what people expect of her if you guys keep giving her album of the year. Like,
That too.
and she keeps raking in billions. Like, of course she's giving you more of the similar.
Yes, for
It
sure.
works.
I
It's
saw someone
successful.
say, exactly. I saw someone say she needs, like, artists need to flop to learn to, you know, what, and even then, a flop is subjective. It's whatever the public is, right? Like, it could be an incredibly different, experiment sounding album, and it could be like a cult classic for her fan base, but that maybe not have done it commercially well. And then, yeah, she pivots into something different that does incredible, because it pushed her to change her sound. It's what happened with all her other albums. Like, we Red flopped, we got 1989. Lover and Rep kind of flopped a bit, and we got Folklore and Evermore.
I don't mean to sound like a Swiftie hand-wringing handmaid, okay? But I think I just feel like a lot of the criticism I'm seeing is not fair.
Yeah.
I don't know particularly. I just cannot stand. I'm sick of her writing about men. What do you want her to write about? Well, what is wrong with
Women.
a love story? Well, okay, listen, true. T, very good point. Excellent point, Jeffy. But like, what is wrong with the story of love and the ups and downs? I just don't think there's anything wrong with that. And also, but like I just illustrated, there are songs about stuff other than that on this album. Songs about being betrayed, songs about being famous, songs about, I think she goes all over the place. And then it's like, okay, let's look at the love songs. Well, one of the songs is about what it feels like to be like an object, a toy
Yeah.
to your part, to a male, to be a woman and to be just a toy that isn't taken care of, like valued, and I think we all, reflected on that during the Barbie movie. And I think she got in her feels during Barbie Land time. And like another of the songs, I think, but Daddy, I love him. Okay, so is she talking about Travis or Maddie? Who know? People commenting publicly on her relationships, which has happened, of course, a lot with Maddie, and then of course it has happened with Travis as well. And like people do, but it's not. I think it's really great the song she wrote. Like it's not relatable for her to be like, well, I am Taylor Swift with my hundreds of millions of people watching me. No, she takes the she you know she uses the allegory of a woman in a small town and the religious. The religious right of the town being judgmental and shaming her for who she's in love with. And it's just like, well, as a gay person, I'm great with that story being out there.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
literally.
I don't think it's like a gay song. It's a gay vibe though, and I think it's a great song. That's my
For
favorite song on the
sure.
album, by the way. What's your top one or two, three songs?
Sorry, which song was that for you again? That was
But Daddy, I
Daddy,
love
but
him.
Daddy, I Love Him. Yep. But Daddy, I Love Him, so good. But for me, on the same kind of vein of like religious, like people almost, I guess, crucifying her for her partnerships, Guilty as Sin is my top one right now, because that's her, just, I mean, the lyrics alone, but also just the funky guitar beats and everything gets me bopping my head. I love Down Bad, the like
Me too.
cosmic, the metaphor. It's, oh, the second I heard that opening, I knew I was gonna be playing it on repeat. And I guess for like a three, from the second half of the album or second album, I think the Bolter's been sneaking up on me. I actually really like the Bolter. I got the Black Dog vinyl, and I thought that I lucked out with that one because that is definitely my second favorite, like, of those vinyl bonus tracks. But I think the Bolter now has surpassed it.
Yeah, high songs for me. About among the bonus tracks, the manuscript. I think it's beautiful. I
Oh,
think
it's
it's
so
beautiful.
pretty.
And talk about, sure, she comments on the relationship, but what it's really about is the story of how a piece of art stops being about the thing that it's about and becomes what it resembles, what it represents to the fans. I think that's
Exactly.
such a cool song. Like that's a cool, and it's beautiful. The piano is so, it's almost, it's
Piano's
longing,
good.
haunting, beautiful piano in the manuscript. I love Down Bad. I think it's so quirky. I think it's fun. The Tortured Poets Department, which by the way, all these critics fucking acting like Taylor Swift calls herself a poet. The whole point of the Tortured Poets Department, the song, is that she's calling Matty Healy a fucking idiot for acting like he's a tortured poet. She thinks he's a clown. What is he doing with this typewriter? We're not, tortured poets, right?
Yeah.
You're not Dylan Thomas. I'm not Patti Smith. This ain't the Chelsea Hotel. We're both idiots. Like she's
It's a
saying, we're
very
not.
good point.
And the thing is, I think if people can't fucking take a joke or pick up sarcasm, I think if she had named it the Tortured Pop Star Department,
Yeah,
maybe
maybe
people would have
people
gotten it because
finally,
that's what
right?
she and
Yeah.
Maddie are. But I think she's making fun of him and making fun of herself, and it's like the critics are like, oh, how dare, Sylvia Plath didn't die for this. Shut the fuck up. She's not, that's her point. That's her fucking point. She makes pop music. She knows that.
That's a very good point. I haven't actually like broken down the lyrics to that song. So you saying that that's actually like yeah, you're exactly right. That song is, and I'm sure it's second, it's number two, just to try really get the point across. Like, listen to this song. This title's a joke. And yeah, I fully agree. Like, she's definitely just poking fun at Matty Healy for being a pretentious, tortured idiot.
People are dogging her for the Charlie Puth, you smoke 7 bars of chocolate,
Oh yeah, all the silly lines, which
or
like
you smoke weed,
oh
whatever.
wait, are they? Yeah, are they profound? No, but they're good and they're fun and they're relevant to the storyline.
But the point she's making is like, Maddie, you got high the other night. You ate 6 bars of chocolate. We talked about Charlie Puth and then you passed out. And you
Yeah.
think you're a tortured poet. We're not. We're tortured pop stars. Like,
Exactly.
yeah, and I just, people are like, oh, this is good poetry. She's making fun of him and she's making fun of the concept that like they were the tortured poets department, that he lugs his typewriter everywhere. And you know what? She's actually kind of embarrassed of that.
Yeah.
And I think she sets the tone with this album that she's almost like embarrassed with herself for getting caught up in the whole thing anyway. You
Yeah,
know?
I definitely get a hint of like, yeah, I mean, embarrassment, but also the fact she put a lot of these songs on the album makes me think she's not embarrassed enough about
Well.
it. But yeah, I definitely yeah, that's definitely I like that take a lot. I haven't even digested the lyrics, but I do agree. It's definitely her poking fun at the title and at Maddie.
Yeah, and I don't,
Yeah.
so I just, I
I
don't
feel like it's pretty
really,
clear.
I don't, I just, I feel like I'm seeing some valid criticism. I am. This is not a perfect album. But I just, I think critics are going through really fast, or are maybe even not completely listening at all, because to miss the irony in the
Oh
title of the
yeah.
album that she spells out in the song, right? It's as thick irony as blank space. It's just, it's, oh, this is what the world thinks I think of myself, but I don't. I know I'm a pop star. I know I'm not fucking Patti Smith, right? Like,
Yeah.
so I just think some of the criticism, listen, I'm all for like, I think you can tell Taylor doesn't, is not edited down. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's like, when we got Red Taylor's version, I was like, fuck you, Scott Borchetta. All these songs are perfect. Every
For
vault track I needed on that album. Every vault track I needed
sure.
on that album. And, people are like, I'm just thinking, like, you gave us Stay, 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 but kept,
Yeah.
Forever Winter or something from us. Like, fuck you, Scott
Insane.
Borchetta. That's your fault. But when once we got, this is so bad, but once when we got Speak Now, I was basically like, eh, yeah, I kind of get it. I kind of see why they kept
Yeah.
those, in the vault. So I think, like, yes, Taylor, maybe there are some some instances where she's very indulgent with herself about lyrics she's including, and I can see some instances where like it's just Taylor raw. It's not Taylor plus a little Liz Rose plus a little Max Martin plus a little all booked together, baked together in a perfect souffle. It's like raw, unfiltered Taylor. And she's so great that it works a lot of the time, but okay, fine. It's, I get it. I'm not saying it's a perfect album. I've said that 50,000 times, and I'm going to keep saying it because I know it's not. But again, some of the critique, I'm just like, meh, I'm
Yeah,
not
no,
feeling.
man, for sure. The second half of the album, like, I definitely need to listen to it a few more times because I feel like, and I think it's a very classic thing everyone's saying, is the Aaron Dessner production is just so refreshing and different from what Jack gave us in the first half of the album. And I remember hearing, I was seeing someone talk about it, and they said that, like, his production helps her voice, like, almost like float above the music. And I really liked that description of it, just because my problem with the first half is that, like, and I feel like it's very relevant in, like, Florida, because Florence, I feel like, gets sucked into it as well, is they almost sound kind of muted a little bit. I don't know how else to explain it, and I don't know if it's like a Jack thing or a Taylor thing or whatever happened, but, like, throughout the album, I just feel like the lyrics are good and the backing production's good, but something about the vocals is messing with me a bit.
I actually Florida's like the I don't get. I need someone to explain Florida to me. I
I mean,
don't get it.
I love the Fuck Me Up Florida harmony, because, like, it's like there's something about the notes they hit, they're like the very first one where they're like, "Fuck me up, Florida." Like, it tickles my brain, but, like, that's the only thing I really like about it. I guess, like, the bam 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 I could see is also fun. Like, you kind of, like, bang your head to it.
I need to understand, and I know there's a listener, there's a Florida head out there, and shout out to you,
For
listener, because
sure.
I do want you to come explain like what is Florida about to me. It's like my brain's not going there. I'm like, looking at the lyrics, like I guess maybe Florida is like a metaphorical place that I don't know. I think Maddie is Florida. Maddie Healy is Florida. Is that?
Maybe I've seen takes on Twitter, but I'm blanking on all of them right now to say for sure. But I do think it might be kind of potentially relevant, like, and actually about actual Florida for some reason,
Yeah.
like, as a getaway spot.
I've seen people say like Taylor's worst problem is their own success. And I think I kind of touched on this earlier, but I want
I
to
do
come
agree
back
on
to
that
it.
a little
I
bit.
think it's a good point because it's like Midnights is the most, an Eras Tour. It's like the rewards from it are the highest they've ever been for her. So record-breaking number of album of the years on Midnights, and then money you can't imagine on Eras Tour,
Insanity.
which is in tandem with Midnights, So it's like, how is she supposed to look back and say, I need to push beyond this? Like, why
Exactly.
would she to an extent? And she has even sort of bemoaned this idea that women have to keep reinventing themselves, that she has to go to a
Exactly.
new genre. And of course, do I want a Taylor Swift rock album? Yes. Give
For
it to me.
sure.
Give it to me now. And maybe we'll get that. But like, should she, if she likes doing like synth pop, the indie pop sounds like Jack Antonoff, if that brings like, if that's the type of art she wants to make, is she supposed to change?
I was about to say, yeah, like, if she's at the point where she can make the music she wants to make, and I guess, like, the frustrating thing is that, like, because of where she's at, like, and I guess it sucks if you're not, like, a huge fan of hers, or, like, not even a huge fan, like, if you actively dislike her, it's probably gonna do well, even if it's not, like, quote, like, good or new or whatever, but just where she's at with her fan base.
Yeah, so there's like nothing in the winds to push
Exactly.
back on her and say, oh, try a new angle. So like, unless she has a boyfriend she wants to impress. No, I'm just kidding. That's why we got Folkmar, right? No, I think she wanted to, I think she did want to do something new, but she's trying to figure out like, well, where does that fit in a tour cycle and everything? But why would she change the formula if all she sees is success as well? And I just
I don't know why she would.
Right. So I don't know, and then I don't think these reviewers are misogynistic. I don't think
No.
they're being horrible. I think whichever ones are getting death threats from Swifties, I of course think that's fucking disgusting. I know
That's
one
so
article,
wrong.
I've seen a couple, I know one paste.com or something where they were like, last time we had a Taylor Swift review, the writer got death threats, so we're not putting their name in the
Oh, I
byline.
do remember that, yeah.
Fair enough, fair enough. Like, I think that's fucking gross. I don't think, but I just think they're really doing a surface level read. They're reading Taylor at her literal word because I don't know why, but one reason why would be because they don't think that she is like a deep artist, a poet, like they're saying, well, we know she's not that. So let's take the tortured poets department at its word. And if you don't read into the irony and the journey, the message of the song, then like, yeah, you would be like, what? You ate 6 bars of chocolate and talked about Charlie Puth and you think that's fucking poetry? But like, these people are not reading it deeper than that, and that's on them, isn't it? But it's like they already have this like preconceived notion about Taylor that she's not,
Well, so some of
dipping
that
her.
could, like, I know can, like, from seeing things online, that could tie into the accidental internalized misogyny slash unknown misogyny. Everything you were just talking about was reminding me of some things I saw recently about, like, when a girl's, like, naturally funny, like, guys who just won't believe that she knows that she's funny, you know, like, knows that she knows she's making a joke. And I feel like that's very much like what you were describing just then. People just look at Taylor's lyrics at face value and don't think that she's smart enough to be making something maybe like a witty, like play on any of it, really, honestly.
Yeah, and listen, I don't think you ate 6 bars of chocolate and we talked about Charlie Puth and then you fell asleep is beautiful poetry. I just don't think it was supposed to be. I think she's telling a
Exactly.
story about her and Maddie to illustrate a point that he's a fucking idiot for thinking they were torture poets, and she's a fucking idiot for going along with it. She calls herself an idiot in the song.
Yeah, this is, I would say, this is to say, like, I don't think everything Taylor Swift has written is going to be like, you know, is going to have such a deep, incredible personal meaning. Sometimes, yeah, she's probably just writing shit for the face value of it. But in a song like what you've been saying, where it's the title track of the album, she calls each other idiots, they name drops a bunch of different like poets and says, "You're not him, I'm not her." Like, it's definitely meant to be a little bit more deep than just like, oh yeah, this is amazing poetry. We're talking about eating chocolate and talking and Charlie Puth.
I know, and I just think people are acting like what I also think is funny is the 180 she's done from like the Lakes. And I think people think that she thinks that this is another The Lakes, and I'm like, no, she wrote The Lakes. She knows what The
Yeah.
Lakes is. She knows what poetry is. I mean, I think The Lakes is a little overwrought, actually. I actually think The Lakes is a little bit cringy because she is so genuine about it. And it's like, well, you did get your
With no one
thesaurus
around
out,
to
but like,
tweet it, to
yeah,
tweet
listen,
it.
and you guys know me. I will criticize Taylor. I will not sit here and say like every song she writes is perfect, everything she says is clever, every lyric was perfect and placed perfectly. I just think it's a pretty good album. And I think people's reactions to it are weird, and I'm not gonna blindly call everybody misogynist or any of that, but I just
No.
think people are letting Taylor Swift, the brand and presence, and like Taylor Swift at the maybe at the Super Bowl. In fact, I saw one person write like, "Gosh, let me find it." One of the reviews I did not like. They said, as a 21st century pop omnipresent, Swift remains mercilessly prolific and unwilling to edit for length, which makes this extended version of her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, the anthology, feel miserable and bottomless. The big surprise is how much of that misery is intentional. It, in concussive contrast to the good time she's been having in the public eye, highest grossing concert tour in the history of the species, highest grossing concert film to match, on-field kisses with her boyfriend after he won the Super Bowl, Swift's new ballads are sour theater, fixated on memories of being wronged and stranded, sodden with lyrics that feel clunky, convoluted, samey, purple, and hacky. Now, I don't disagree with every, bit of that comment. I do think the lyrics, there's clunky moments, but I just think this person, to an extent, it's sort of saying like, well, she's having fun with Travis on the field. Does that mean she like doesn't have, that much mean she doesn't suffer from mental illness, suffer from, trauma that she wants to work through? She kissed Travis on the field, so why is she writing, songs that aren't happy? And I'm like, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, First of all, mental illness chooses its victims randomly, or not really, but do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can have all the money in the world, you can have beauty, you can have fame, you can have power. It doesn't matter if there's something chemically unbalanced in your brain. And all that riches and everything that can give you privilege and ability to manage it better than your average person, that's certainly true. But like, if there's a genetic predisposition or trauma that has affected the neuroplasticity of your brain or whatever that has, triggered you into mental illness, which I think songs like I Hate It Here and I Look in People's Windows, Taylor has been incredibly isolated. She has,
I Can
I
Do It With a
think.
Broken Heart is one where she actively says, like, it's not really mental illness, but like, if she is in a negative mind space for whatever reason, she can still go out and smile and hit her mark and do everything, even though, and we all may think she's living the time of her life, but she's miserable.
Exactly. He's literally like, on-field kisses with her boyfriend after he won the Super Bowl. She wrote a song for you, bro. She wrote a song explaining it. She can do it with a broken heart. She explained it for you. Did you listen to the album? And I
Yeah,
just,
literally.
I don't like, I just, yes, to an extent, like there is some degree of, okay, Taylor, you are a billionaire. You
She's
are,
overexposed. She's,
right. But it's
and she
like,
can't keep playing the victim in certain places where she has so much money to literally make someone disappear if she wants them to.
Yeah. I mean, so my like I just think people are letting Taylor at the Super Bowl and her brand and her presence and Taylor at Eras, everything she talks about, she talks, you make such a good point. She talks about it, she comments on it. She says, "I know. I fucking know. I know it looks like I'm acting like it's my birthday. I know, but I
This
do have a
album
broken
was
heart."
surprisingly self-aware. Like, I do feel like there was definitely some things that were didn't land right, and I definitely think there's some places I do wanted to dig a little deeper, but with a good amount of it is with like her relationship with the public and her own and how we perceive her. I think she was commentating on it a decent amount through this album.
Right. And I don't, what does this guy want from her? Like if you had a successful tour, so you can't have mental illness, you have a boyfriend, so you can't have, you can't have trauma from past relationships. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe I just, if she's not allowed, if feelings are feelings, like they're not logical, right? We can have the best lives. I'm like,
No, I
I'm
know.
like
I mean,
getting emotional. I just,
she's also written these songs over the course of 2 years. I mean, the Eras Tour has only been around for a year. She's been at the top of, like, yes, she's been slowly on the uprise. Don't get me wrong. Like, she's been outdoing herself over and over and over again. But, like, to be like, oh, you just came off the Super Bowl, it's like, well, yeah, but, like, at that point, I would think this, yeah, actually, at that point, the album was finalized. It was announced. It was coming. She would have written everything. So, like, even if, like, at this point, she's happy living her life, when boyfriend won the Super Bowl, super ecstatic and everything, the stuff she wrote about 2 years ago is now coming out. That's it.
I just think I am such a happy person and I have such a privileged and blessed life.
Same, for sure.
And it doesn't like I suffer occasionally from crippling body dysmorphia. Like I see things that are genuinely not there in the mirror. It is not constant and I do my best to manage it. But like, my brain reality comes into my eyeballs and my brain warps it. And I cannot help that. And I just, these people being like, Taylor, you should be happy. You've got money. You've got a boyfriend. Like, if she has something going on, which by the way, she has admitted to having an eating disorder. So, like, right off the bat, we know, you know what I mean? Like, I know she said, "Well, I'm too healthy for therapy." I actually don't think that's true. I think she was the greatest of luxuries are your secrets. So, I think she doesn't have to talk about that if she doesn't want. But I think it's just people like I don't know. The other thing this person, let me this person also said or somebody said like They said, enough. These are highly, they give some of her lyrics and they say, enough. These are highly embarrassing combinations of words made to serve an even more embarrassing narrative. The childish idea that the most famous singer alive should be pitied for living alone atop her money, atop her mountaintop of money, feeling sad and aggrieved. I'm sorry. Did Taylor ask for our pity on this album once?
Not at all. I
I.
She's just writing the songs, and if you go, oh boo-hoo, oh so sad for her, that's your reaction. I could just take the song and be like, ooh, this is I'm gonna relate this to my own personal life and experience. It has nothing to do with Taylor.
I
Like,
just like
it's
writing
art.
about sad topics is not a request. Sharing your reality is not a demand on people. If people hear that and want to pity her, and like there are songs I hear and I feel sorry for her. I think I hear I hate it here, and I think I know people who have suffered with depression like that. I hear, I look through people's windows and I think, it's funny. I was just at a family dinner, right? And I was talking to one of my cousins about Taylor Swift. And, I said, oh, and, she comments on lots of stuff in the album. I think some depression. And he said, oh, do you think she has depression? And I said, I think she maybe, this is in a conversation, right? I'm not saying, but like, I think she might have some like diagnoses that are Taylor Swift specific. She lives a very unique, isolated life. And I hear that and I feel sorry for her. But I don't think she asked me to. I think she puts the art out there and says, make of it what you will. And in fact, in the
100%,
manuscript, she tells the story of how this was a song I wrote when I was feeling sorry for myself, and how grateful am I that my fans have taken it and made something else.
Made it their own.
I don't know. Am I being a Swiftie handmaiden? Like,
No, I think you're being pretty reasonable with like 100% nailing the manuscript. Like, shout out Jodes in the Discord for throwing the idea that she's talking about her whole discography as the manuscript, because I love that take and that angle of it. Because, yeah, like she has given us all her whole body of work that was all these stories from her life and her experiences. But now they're our experience. They're how we relate to them. Like, I have so many songs of hers that when I hear them, I think of my own life. I don't think about, I mean, like, yes, the little, Gaylor in me still thinks about fun theories and fun stuff here and there when I hear a song. Can't help it. But I'm definitely mostly being like, oh, this is my own life and my own experience.
And I think that's what the music is for. So I don't, why are these writers of these articles insisting that like there's just this energy of like Taylor's too rich and famous to have feelings. And I just like, I'm guessing she doesn't sit around pitying herself. Like I'm guessing she doesn't have like a I look through people's windows afternoon every day. But if she struggles, like I said, I have mental illness struggles. I shared about, this, body dysmorphia. It comes and goes. It is not all the time. It is not even frequent. When it comes, it is crippling. And I could probably write 100 songs about it if I needed to. Like if I wanted to express myself about something, like, but then and maybe if I did release an album of 100 songs about it, you guys would think that was the only thing going on in my life. But I don't know. I think some of the energy,
This
I no,
album
I
rollout's
don't.
been a bit weird. I definitely feel like people are, it's definitely a bit of grappling with how popular she is. She's definitely, I think, a bit overexposed.
Sure.
And I definitely see people being frustrated with like, I mean, I see frustrations with her doing all the vinyl variants just to give us
Yeah.
all of them on streaming and all that stuff. Like, I definitely think, but then that's bleeding into critiquing the art in an unfair way. And that's just, yeah, like we said, unfair. Like, the art is like, you got to separate her fame at this point with what it is. You even like, we'll keep parts of her life with it, but even then, like, a third layer, you strip her away from it and you take the music itself and apply it to your own life and your own experiences.
Right. Like the way they're saying it's sort of like, oh, it's so childish to think that Taylor Swift like should be pitied as she sits upon her mountaintop. Well, okay, well, if it wasn't Taylor Swift, would you like the songs?
Exactly.
Would it be okay for her to write these love songs about this
If she
crazy
was
love
broke.
story? Yeah, and maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they wouldn't. Like I said, maybe some of the prose is a little overwrought. I'm not denying. I've said 15 times in this episode, I would love to see her be edited a little, push herself a
Yeah,
little. Absolutely. But
for
just this
sure.
energy that, like, it, you can tell, I'm sorry, you can just tell, like, they don't have a problem with the music. They have a problem with Taylor Swift, the brand.
Yeah,
It
which is
feels
a
like.
fair and a fair criticism, but that's separate from the
But
art.
you
Like, if you're
shouldn't
gonna make
criticize
that,
the music with that
exactly.
in mind.
Yeah.
You know, and this person fucking whines. This the start of this article that I've been reading from, they say, who's torturing who here? Sorry, sorry. And you know, they say, like, oh, my phone mercilessly died during the, you know, during the album. And they whine. Like, do we want to be super literal? This fucking writer whining about how hard it is to review Taylor Swift's music. Bro, you got paid. You got paid to
Yeah.
write this article. Like, just the way Taylor gets paid to make her, you know, and you're sitting around whining about having to listen to it. Like, if you can be ironic in that way and sort of be dramatic and say, oh, it's such torture. I'm tortured. I'm tortured to listen to the album. Yeah, I get it. This person's joking, but like,
Yeah.
how are you going to tell those jokes and then not realize when Taylor's doing it?
Yeah,
I
definitely.
don't know. I don't know. Not to be a Swiftie fucking handmaiden. I mean, you guys remember, I didn't like Midnights. We gave Midnights the shittest review on this podcast, and I got so many bad reviews on it. But I didn't think it was that great. I think this is actually a great album. It's not her greatest. It's not the greatest, you
Yeah.
know, but I think it is a great album.
It's funny for me, this album definitely, like, as a whole, I think sits like above, like a step above Midnight's. But I feel there, like, and I'm sure people will disagree with me on this. I don't see an anti-hero on this album. Like, anti-hero
Right.
had went for so long, charting forever. If people are gonna try and convince me it's Fortnite, I can't see it. And so that's the that and I mean, I understand the sound of the album isn't anti-hero. It isn't like that kind of charting song, and maybe that's not what she wants, but like, yeah, that's kind of like, I don't know if it really matters, but like, that's kind of a way that I'm distinguishing them, I guess. Like, there's no song that's like that to me on that album right now.
Yeah, I agree that, like, I'm not shaking my damn ass to any one song yet. I
I'm slowly
think
shaking it to Down Bad,
I'm
slowly
like
shaking. Yeah.
wagging my ass to Down Bad, you know what I mean? I
Oh, for
think
sure.
what is that fucking song about? I can do it with a broken heart. I think
Yes.
that has potential. That has like chartable potential. And we'll see, you know, we'll see what comes out from it. But at the end of the day, like, I don't know. I did just want to get on and rant. I read this review this morning and I started talking in my head. I started fucking ranting in my head, and I read the Reddit comments on fucking Swiftie Neutral, which sometimes I like Swiftie Neutral. Sometimes they have open conversations that you can't have on r slash Taylor Swift. I think it's fine to criticize Taylor in good faith, but they're like, I'm so sick of her writing about high school. I'm so sick of her. I'm just like, what do you want her to write about? You know, I don't know. What do you want her to write about if she can't write about a love story? By the way, like, greatest album of all time, Layla and Other Love Songs, entirely about Eric Clapton's little love triangle with fucking George Harrison and Patty Harrison. Like, why is that okay, but this not? And then again, when people are like, she needs a new sound, enough Jack, like, maybe I don't know enough about music, but like, did Michael Jackson reinvent his, just in his solo career, did he reinvent his sound that much? Did he make He made some fucking incredible music. Somebody actually, this is a question. This is a question for the group, but I feel like everything I know about Michael Jackson is a lot of the music is like, has a through line. It's pretty similar. It's like if you listen to 1989 and then Midnights and then Torture Poets Department, it's like there's a through line here. Like it's somewhat different, but it hasn't evolved that far from the starting point. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I do think it might serve Taylor to like come out of her bubble to like, go live somewhere that's not like the Western world, like go spend some genuine time. And, you know, I mean, if she wants to like push the envelope from a songwriting and a creative perspective, like go have some experiences that like, you know, some new experiences. valid,
I
but
guess
like,
I don't understand her, like, I guess Jack Antonoff safety blanket, I guess, is my like why can't you even have, like, you could still keep him. Why can't just, like, one other person come join you? Like, I know obviously it's Aaron Dessner, but, like, maybe another, like, third or fourth person in the room with you other than, like, the featured artist on the one song. That's the only thing I get frustrated with.
This album definitely tells me there's room for growth for Taylor. Room for growth for sure. And I believe she'll get there. That's my th I'm kind of like, yeah, I get it. I get it. This isn't, too far an evolution from Midnight's, from some of her pop, forays. But she's proven time and time again, like, she comes back stronger than the 90s trend, not
She
to be a
literally
fucking
does.
loser and like use her own lyrics about her, but like, they it's just, wait, you heard Debut and you saw 1989 coming? You heard 1989 and you saw Evermore coming? Don't bullshit me.
Yeah, like, no.
She can, and I'm not saying she should be like given grace or like this album should get like a better review just because she might have a better album down the line. I'm not saying, I'm just saying like as fans, I don't, especially seeing like, I don't know, a lot of, I saw a bunch of big name Gaylors being like, oh, it's fucking awful. It's fu
Well,
and
because,
I'm just
well,
like,
I'm sorry, because,
what?
yeah, it is the straightest album, so of course
Well,
Gayla's gonna
maybe
be a
that's
little more.
why.
That's probably why, but, like, it is very straight. Like, I'm, like, real. I re-listened to, like, a bunch of songs, and I'm like, is like I'm grasping for a gay take, and then it just falls apart.
Okay,
I cannot
let's do.
find many songs.
Let's d dabble in Gaylorism, right? Because 17 years ago, this was a Gaylor podcast. Let's treat ourselves. Okay, gay vibes first and foremost. But Daddy, I love him. Do I think this is her song? About this is about. I really thought it was about Maddie, but now it's like, is it fanfic about Maddie or is it just allegory about her and Travis? Because her and Travis have had a lot of naysayers as well.
Very for sure.
While the the sort of leftist Swifties, progressive Swiftie verse came out against Maddie, the conservatives have come out against Travis. And what better, like, the NFL Brads and Chads, if you will, what better to represent them in an allegory, but like a conservative Christian church, right? So I'm just saying, yeah, it's probably about Maddie. I don't know, but like, take that aside, take the he him out of it. That's a gay ass song. You're in love, and the whole town, the Christians are against you, but it doesn't matter, and your parents aren't accepting, but you're fighting it off, and you're saying no, love wins the day. That's gay. That's gay. Down bad, a little gay.
Little gay for down bad. I definitely do see, like, I do think maybe, like, the Lost My Twin is probably talking about Joe, but I can definitely see a Kaler angle because they were twins, you know, they look very
Okay.
similar.
Sure. And I did say that the second I heard it. But also, she said Carly was not a twin from your dreams. Not.
That's true. That's
So when
true.
she says, feeling like I lost my twin, well, Carly was not. If we want to be super literal,
That's
now what do I think? I just think feeling like I lost my twin, I feel like I lost someone close to me.
yeah. For
That's what
sure.
that lyric means, right? So she can say twin and it can mean Carly in one song and then not Carly in another
Could
song.
literally
It's
just be a
okay.
friend lost. Doesn't even have to be like it. Yeah. It doesn't have to be anyone.
Well, and I mean, down bad is I think she, we'll talk. I haven't gotten to Muse Ship yet. We will get to Muse Ship. But this was just more of a rant.
Yeah, definitely.
But like down bad, I see is about maybe a brief fling she had with Maddie while she was still with Joe, because it talks about, oh, you put me naked back in my old town that feels hollow now. Like Joe is her town, you were my town, now I'm in exile seeing you out. Like, so does the word twin make me raise an eyebrow for 1/15th of a second? Sure. But
Of
like, it's not.
course.
But this idea about someone coming into your life, beaming you up to this sort of different universe, a different way of life, and then when you get back, you can't even talk about it. You can't even tell anyone about it. This alien, this otherworldly way of being with this person. It's like, okay, that's kind of gay. Is that song about Maddie? Yes. Is it kind of gay anyway? Yes. What other Gaylor nuggets do we have?
I've seen a fun take for Thank You, Amy, which you saying exact like, is that song about Maddie? Yes. Is Thank You, Amy about Kim? I do think
Yes.
so. Yes. But I do like the take that in that song, she says, like, she takes out every single, like, way to like tie it to the person or whatever, right? Like he takes out any notable features of that person in the song. Yet in this song, that is very pointed at someone very specific, which obvious answer is that's the point of the song. It's meant to be funny, tongue in cheek, like that's it. But the other side I've seen is, well, maybe she's talking about another person who has a child who she's not friends with anymore in her life. Cough, cough, Carly.
Would it still be gay though, or would it be Master's heist beef?
Exactly. That's the angle. Would it be gay or Master's Heist beef? And that's where I'm not sure.
I kind of do just think it's about Kim, but like, sure, like I get it,
I
like
definitely think it's about
because
Kim. I mean, it's like it's too on the nose.
I also think it's an homage to Britney Spears, If You Seek Amy. Like I think this idea of like hiding
Ooh.
a message in the name Amy is now a pop trend. And
That's a
I
good
think
point.
she's paying her dues and respect to Britney by using, thank you,
Ooh,
Amy.
I love that. Yeah.
But also like the metaphor of the song or whatever is like a high school and a girl in high school bullying
Exactly.
her, and that's gay. Like I've
That's
seen Mean
gay,
Girls.
for
I know what was
sure.
going on between Regina George and Janice Ian. Okay. So like sure, that's kind of gay.
And then kind of other gay is Guilty as Sin, but that's also kind of just like I never t like people shipping her with people is how I feel is more of the base of the song. Like that, how can I be guilty of sin if like maybe he has done this stuff in my mind, but we've never actually done anything. How is it like, how could I be guilty for that? But then also if you just take out that he, then it could just be very gay too.
Yeah, feeling guilty about being horny for someone is a very gay vibe.
Oh, for sure. And in the lyric, she says, "What if the way you hold me is actually what's holy?" So it's like, okay,
Gay.
that's gay,
Very
like
gay.
very gay.
I gotta say, are gay boys across America thrilled about But Daddy, I Love Him? Because I thought that was gonna be like, that's like a gay boy anthem. The pronouns are already set to
That's
go.
true.
Like, surely they're loving it. Is there
There is
anything?
some gay, thankfully, in this album, in this very, very Matty Joe Travis heavy album.
Now, do I think there's an explicit line or song about Carly or Diana or whoever? No, not at all.
Nah.
Not one little bit. Did I clown a little the night it came out about Peter? Sure. Yes, Diana
It's
called
a good
herself
song
Peter
to,
Pan on her
yeah.
blog. Yes, some of these energies. Yes, Diana was 25 when they were. Sure, I clowned, but do I actually think it's about her? No. I think we can always keep our ears open, but like Taylor tells us who this album's about, and we are gonna just, I don't know. Guys, tell me, you want it on the main pod, you want it on bonus pod? Like we've already done, we're gonna have a series tortured podcast department where we pick the apart the fuck this album. It's gonna be a long
Yeah,
series, I
we need
think.
it.
Yeah, this might, we've already done episode one, like I said, with Imps, where we talked about some of the songs, but I just really, this morning I read those reviews and I was like, I don't even want to talk about what this album's about. I want to talk about why it's allowed to exist. I just got,
Yeah.
I got a stick in my craw about it. And I wanted to discuss it. We will be doing muse talk. We will be doing, song analysis, lyric analysis. And of course, we need interviews from Taylor. We need more music videos. What do you think about the Fortnite music video?
I'll be completely honest, I still need to watch it.
Oh my God, Jeffy. We'll talk about another
I've
episode.
seen clips, but yeah, definitely need to chat about it once I watch it.
Right off the bat, I'll just say I think it was really beautiful. I think it's
Okay.
really beautiful. That's all I'll say. We'll
Awesome.
get to an analysis in another episode. But like, yeah, I think
Actually, I
I
guess I am curious. Have you seen Poor Things?
not yet.
Okay, I don't know if like I did see that there's like some Frankenstein-y vibe in there in the music video. I didn't know if that was kind of also maybe just a reference to that video, that movie too, because that movie's also starts off in black and white and does, I don't know, probably potentially maybe, but I didn't know if you had a take on that at all, if you had seen
I
the movie.
haven't, but I'll look. Me and Gabby have that on our list to watch. So, like, trust me,
Sweet.
we'll be putting it all
It's so
together.
good. Highly recommend. Very good.
Yeah, in this episode, I really did just want to talk about the valid, some valid criticism, but a lot of the unfair criticism. Now, I do have one criticism that I think is a fair fucking criticism. I think Taylor is absolutely ridiculous for including I'm Gonna Get You Back on
Oh,
this
yeah.
album after Olivia already did the concept on Get Him Back. And
For
frankly,
sure.
I do think did it better. Not to
Yeah.
start shit. Love to Taylor. But are you fucking kidding me? you're going to come to her demanding credits for having a similar sound being inspired by the bridge of your song, and you're going to rip off this entire.
The
And I,
concept
you
of the
know,
whole
I'm
song.
not
Like, I literally,
saying
yeah.
she did rip her off on purpose or she heard the song and wrote it and ripped it off, but I'm just saying the way it happened with Olivia's song coming out first and then Taylor's song coming out after that, leave it off the fucking album, Taylor. Just
Yeah,
leave it off the
literally.
album.
It's so easy to.
I just think, again, I do think she comments on Olivia in the song Claribel and in Who's Afraid of Little Old Me.
I agree.
And so, Taylor, if you're gonna say like, well, how dare you, whatever, like have thoughts about me, tell me about
Maybe
sad,
she's
like
daring
whatever.
Olivia to sue her back.
Well, you know, if Taylor, if you're gonna be like, you should be afraid of me, Taylor, don't fucking rip her off. Don't put the fucking song that is like the carbon copy. And I'm not saying musically. I'm not even 100% saying lyrically. I'm saying conceptually, which I don't know if you can
The
sue someone over a
concept. Yeah, I don't
concept.
know if you can either, but like
Probably
the
not.
concept of just the double entendre of I'm either going to get you back with in a loving way or in a
Right.
revenge way.
I'm gonna get you
That's
back as my partner or get you back revenge.
exactly that was fully done that less like and if like yeah, things can be recycled in music all the time, but like to be not even a year out, like that's just yeah, crazy.
Like, not to go full leave Britney alone, but leave Olivia alone, Taylor. I do
Yeah.
think she just needs to like chill, like just back off. And frankly, send it over an olive branch. I don't know. Do you know,
Something.
I do
If the
think that.
future's bright and dazzling, send her something if we're gonna listen to Clara Bow lyrics.
Now, well, of course, I think that was a bit sarcastic, right? I don't think she gets into the guts of it, but I do think like Taylor's comments on that cycle are is it's awful because you are replaceable, you know.
That's a good
So,
point.
what are your big critiques for the album? I've sucked its dick. That's I leave fucking Olivia Rodrigo alone. That's my critique. What about yours?
definitely like what I said earlier about like the first half feeling a bit muted for her vocally. The production on the second half is beautiful. It definitely was giving like Evermore folklore. I keep saying folklore because that's just them together in my head. I do see people's points about it being wordy, but like I said, as a parasocial nosy person, I love it. Eat it up. Give me more. Give me as much information about your life as possible, Taylor, because we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna dissect it. We're gonna, yeah, it's just gonna, it gets me excited to know more about her just in that weird way. But yeah, I want her to push more. I want her to like I want her to I even though she shouldn't have to, I would love to see her reinvent herself again just because she is so good at it. It's not a negative reason I want her to reinvent herself. I want her to do it because she gives us such beautiful art when she does it. And it would be so cool to see what she does next if she chooses to do something different.
I think, you know, so I think some of the critiques are coming from people because they do know. They do know she can give us more, like you just said. And that's not necessarily out of a bad faith place. Some of the critiques are coming because the album is worthy of some critique. But I do feel like people are letting their feelings about Taylor Swift, the brand, get in the way of these songs, of of even being able to conceptualize what they're about, of thinking Taylor Swift is this frivolous, you know, bitch that takes herself too seriously. And then you take the song that's full of sarcasm and you say, she must have meant this literally.
Yeah,
And
you
so
don't get it.
I just, you know, I don't know what to do with those people. I don't, you know, and I
There's
think,
only so much you can do, right? Like we I feel like mo any fan or stan or fan any fan base is going to have to defend their person. And it you're in the trenches sometimes. And hopefully, you know, it's gonna be tough for a bit, but I think with even with Midnights, I think a lot of people still came, you know, came back around and found things to love about it. And I think this album will have the same sort of like resurgence.
I have been saying from the top, this is a grower. of an album. I think some people have been waiting for like Reputation-esque or 1989-esque or, Cruel Summer-esque bops and are not going to find that right away on this album. But that does not mean those songs aren't going to work their ways into your fucking little brain and your heart.
They get me. That she says she puts drugs in them, and she does.
She
It's
does.
crazy.
She really does. And I don't know. I mean, I've said this is not a perfect album. This is not a perfect album. This is a great album. I didn't think Midnight's was a great album. I thought Midnight's was a good album.
I'm still getting there to calling it a great album, but I think I will come around eventually. But yeah, I'm still listening to it a few more times through.
Well, and let me also say, if you don't think it's a great album, that's fine too. But I think
Oh, yeah.
what is unproductive or something I personally, the person myself, don't respect is people sort of it going over their heads and then saying they don't like it because of that. And
Yeah.
like, I think it's one thing to be like, I really didn't like the tunes, like the melodies, or like, oh, this the sound. I'm over synths. I'm over Jack Antonoff. Oh, like the lyrics, I didn't relate to them. All valid. Everything valid there. Everything valid. But being like, it doesn't make sense. Taylor kisses her boyfriend on the Super Bowl, at the Super Bowl. How can she have all these feelings? I'm like, shut the fuck up. I do think that's fucking lazy. So,
Another valid one I have that I remembered right now is her goddamn the track list order, Taylor, to go from I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, actually to sandwich I Can Do It With a Broken Heart between Love of My Life and The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. What the fuck? Like, just
It's
what
like,
the fuck?
doesn't the archer go into the man
I
or
think
some shit?
so.
Like,
Yeah,
bitch, what
like
are you doing? Like, why would you do that to me?
Lover is crazy. Lover's track list is
Oh my
insane.
God, it really is. I don't know. I was ranting about Lover today about that's the other thing. I don't think Fortnite should have been the single.
I don't get it.
I don't so listen. There's plenty of valid criticism. And I will say, like, if you don't like the album, that's fine. Like, and if you loved Midnights and I didn't, that's fine. You know what I mean? To the listener. Like, but I think this is a great album. And I think it's a lot. I think some of you, it's gonna grow on. I really do. I think that if you sit with it, if you just get in the bath and play it, which is me and Gabby, the place we're staying right now has this huge double bathtub. So we just hop in the bath and put the album on for 2 hours.
Amazing.
I think if you do that, you will come around on some of
Yeah.
it. And if you don't, that's okay too,
There's so
and
many, there's 31 songs. Like, if you don't, like, if you can't find a few to at least enjoy, like, yeah, that's upsetting.
So I kind of want to like sound like I don't know how much of this is usually kind of an episode we reserve for the Patreon. A lot of the album breakdowns are going to be on the Patreon, but I feel like since we're doing the Joe timeline, maybe the Joe analysis should be on the main pod. I don't know. What do you guys want? I mean, I guess,
Yeah,
more
let us
people
know.
will want things on the main pod. We'll bring some of it to the main pod, but there's going to be several episodes on the Patreon this week, including this is going to go up Monday morning. If there is not an episode up on the Patreon of for me and Gabby about just more analysis, what we think the album's about, maybe getting into some Muse discourse tonight, it will be up tomorrow morning. But I think we'll probably have
Awesome.
one up for you tonight. If not like already when this episode is out. So yeah, I think that's just where that's what I wanted to do today. I just usually this is the kind of thing we'd put on the Patreon, but I don't know. Like, I just felt like standing up for the album. I just think it's better than some critics are saying it is. But Jeffy, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to come on and chat about all this stuff.
Always. And I think that's where we're gonna leave it. Head on over to Patreon if you want more analysis. And of course, we'll have more. And we're gonna go back to the Joe timeline in time. And I think what's
Definitely.
gonna be fun, let's just go ahead and say it. Maddie fucking Healy kind of throws a wrench into some of our
Yeah.
plans. If you, I mean, we have to go back. We're gonna have to go back to the Maddie timeline, and we're gonna have to go back and pick out, songs I thought were about other situations. Like, fuck it,
Yeah.
the one Ivy Cardigan. Not
It's crazy.
saying every song's about Maddie, but certainly they're in play. Let's put it
Yes,
that
they can be
way. So.
considered now. You can definitely put an angle on there that you might not have considered before.
And you guys know I love some timeline-based analysis. Like, I'm already getting people being like, oh my God, so do we think, what did they say? like maybe So It Goes for Maddie, and I'm like,
Yeah.
no. Like we have the timeline still exists, and like Maddie, he leaves in early 2015. Taylor gets with Calvin. She spends, over a year with him. They break up. Then fall of 2016, Taylor starts writing Reputation, and Joe is on the scene. Like these songs come back to Joe, right? So
Yeah.
we will maintain the integrity of the timeline, and we will continue our timeline-based analysis here at the pod. But like, I'm fucking thrilled. I'm
Oh,
fucking thrilled
same.
at all the new angles we get to look at her music with. So
Oh,
excited to
yeah.
be doing that with everybody and to be doing that with you guys. So yes, with all that said, everybody, please stay safe in 2024. Please register to vote in 2024 and gaslight Gatekeeper Boss immediately. Bye, everybody.
Bye.